FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is March 14th, 2017, the day before the Ides of March, which I personally think is much ado about nothing. I mean, a case of just newsletter writers having to find something to talk about. Well, I don't really think it's necessary. I think there's so much going on, it's really hard to keep up with. But we will get to that in a moment. A couple of things. First, you want to contact me on any matter, feedback, criticism, whatever. The email address is kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com. And some other housekeeping chores, the Twitter feed, which we will be using more of because you've told us you want us to tweet, is at Carrie Lutz. In case you don't know how to spell the name, I'm assuming you do, it's K-E-R-R-Y-L-U-T-Z. So at Carrie Lutz, email address kl@carrielutz.com. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. I know a lot of you have been going there and making contact with you. We plan to add a forum to the website shortly so we can all communicate, because many of you who are listening want to talk to other interested people. So we're really up for that, and we're working on it now. Stefan, the webmaster, who's been working tirelessly, he spends hours every day posting all of these articles that you enjoy. He is working on it. He's on the case and all good. So look, we came across a gold miner company. We're not being sponsored, paid to say anything nice about them, but it's an interesting play. I don't know what's going to happen with the mining shares. I think short term, they're going to be depressed. I think coming towards the summer, that's when the metals probably are going to break out, both on a seasonal basis and the fundamentals. But hey, I'm not a psychic, but this gold miner is really cool, called Vista Gold. Just fascinating. The president is a guy named Fred Earnest. I mean, if you want anybody to be your president, you want a guy to be earnest, right? And he's CEO of Vista Gold and O&M Partners, a company that does high-end investor relations, is having a town hall call this Thursday, March 16th at 2:15 p.m. So that's 2 days. And he'll be there talking about, among other things, their world-class resource in the northwest, or the northern territory of Australia, the Mount Todd Gold Project, as our Canadians like to say, 5.9 million ounces proven and provable reserves. That's a world-class resource. Unlike many of your junior miners out there, these guys actually have cash on the balance sheet, 23.9 million U.S., and there's not hundreds of millions of shares out. There's less than 100 million. So the leverage is good. I mean, when gold went up in 2016, the GDX went up 64%. Gold had only gone up 8%. Vista went up 243%. This guy is proven management. Their team is a proven management team. He's third generation miner. Mining engineer from Colorado School of Mining, over 30 years in the industry, heads up a very qualified team, and he's put mines into production and turned around numerous mining operations. Shareholders are great. Sun Valley Gold holding 18.2% and Global Strategic Management almost 5%. There's just so many good things about this. So I'm going to give you a phone number you can call into. The phone number would be 408-792-6300. The access code, which you'll need if you call in, is 636-407-547. Okay, so again, the dial-in number, 408-792-6300, access code 636-407-547. And here's the thing, go to the website and just do a search on Vista Gold if you don't see it on the homepage, and you can just click it and go on to the webinar, WebEx, on your computer, just doing all these things. I suggest you do it. It'll take 20 minutes of your life. You can ask the guy questions if you want. really just a great opportunity to discover this company. I don't own any shares in it. I'm seriously considering taking a position, what really is a minor position for them, but a major position for me. I don't know how much that's going to be yet, but the stock really, once these miners turn around, which they eventually will, because we know it, we've seen it over and over and over again, I think, you know, could do well. Hey, I'm not an expert. Don't take my word for it. I'm not recommending the stock. I'm not a financial planner, blah, blah, blah. If you listen to me, you lose money. There's my disclosures, but I have no interest in the company at the present time. Not a sponsor. It'd be great if they became one, but I doubt it. I'm not soliciting them to become a sponsor, and they're just a good company. And their website is Vista, V-I-S-T-A, gold.com. And like I said, they've got all of the makings of becoming a really good company. We'll just have to see what happens with them. But like I say, they're poised. So again, the teleconference town hall call is Thursday, March 16th, 2:15 p.m. Eastern time. I should emphasize that because you're listening from all over the world. I realize that. And oh, as far as they're actually on the big board, they're on the New York Stock Exchange. Recent price, $1.93. TSX Venture, $1.36. And yeah, take a look at the website, but I highly recommend that you just listen in there. If you want to ask questions, you'll be able to. You know, just one of those kind of companies that you really do look for and that are so hard to find that really, you know, it's just a good thing when you can come across one of them every now and then that is actually going to be in business. They made it through the last downturn. So, hey, just wrote a piece for the newsletter, Trump, Workaholic in Chief Part 2. I mean, that one went viral. I got so much feedback on it. I went on 15 radio interviews. But, you know, when I wrote about it, about Trump's workaholic constitution and how the media had yet to grasp its potentially negative impact upon their lives, no one got it, but they're starting to get it because they have to get it. This guy at the Washington Post, Eric Wemple, I mean, it sounds like a skin condition, but hey, I don't want to get personal. It's just a joke. Liberals, progressives, you have to learn about humor. You know, if I had a dollar for every guy who called me klutz, I'd be a wealthy man now. It's just something you take. So journalists, as he wrote in the Washington Compost or Washington Post, journalists tasked with covering Donald Trump's White House are growing weary thanks to the unsustainable pace the president is setting with long days, ruined weekends, and unpredictable moves. His conclusion, Trump may outlast the White House press corps. April Ryan of Urban Radio Networks, she was caught saying nasty things about the president, misrepresenting him, what he said about something he said that was racist. I don't even remember at this point with so many news cycles ago. She said this pace of covering this new president is unsustainable for the long haul. And according to Breitbart, the comment came during a crazy news weekend. That was the weekend before last, the time when White House reporters, you know, weekends, they usually get to unwind because there's usually nothing major happening. But of course, this was no ordinary Saturday for a perennially lazy gilded press corps. Trump was just, he got started early Saturday morning with a blitzkrieg of tweets accusing former President Obama of wiretapping the Trump campaign. I mean, we're all wiretapped, let's face it. But the difference is whether it was passive wiretapping or active. My gut feel says it was probably active, but let's see if anything comes out. And look, it's a simple matter. When Trump tweets, people listen, news is made, and reporters have to report it or they get left in the dust. And this unsustainable pace, as they call it, that's Trump's norm. So if you can't take it, you better go back to the gossip column, or maybe you just better start writing obituaries again, because those people are dead. They're not going anywhere. The urgency's out. But if you're going to follow a workaholic in chief, you better learn to become a workaholic and shut up. You know, wake up, mainstream legacy media. This is your life, and it's about to get a whole heck of a lot worse. You are on the receiving end of a giant dose of Trumpian workaholism. I know it's hard to believe, but there are people in this world, I used to be one of them, who get their greatest satisfaction from complete career immersion, and they work 15, 18, 20 hours per day. And Trump loves these people, and he knows where to find them en masse. He's been picking these people out his entire career. I mean, the collective average hours worked for the management in the Trump organization weekly has got to be 60 to 80 hours on average. I mean, I don't think you can make it. And basically, he holds out the carrot. Everybody running one of his country clubs or hotels is told, you too can be the head honcho of Trump International Hotels and Golf Courses if you excel. And they get paid a very generous wage, but they have to earn it. They don't just get it. It's not like a social welfare program working for Trump. So, you know, once upon a time, some of the White House press gaggle actually were hard workers themselves. But after a whole lot of high living, attending the right DC parties, hitting the trendy restaurants and watering holes, I challenge you to find a softer, lazier lot than they. And the main reason it's going to get worse is that the nascent Trump administration has yet to start firing on all cylinders, with Russian spy capers, wiretapping controversies, Democratic senator foot-dragging cabinet confirmations, and sabotage by former Obama holdouts. The normal cycle of consolidating power and getting a new administration up and running quite clearly has become elongated. But now it's starting to come together. And just picture it. There's going to be hundreds of Trump-styled workaholics doing their thing, and it's going to become a juggernaut that no mere mortal media hack has the ability or drive to keep pace with. It will truly be unsustainable. So it's time to prepare, Eric and April et al. Your lives are about to get a whole heck of a lot more interesting. I promise you that. And, you know, it's amazing. I know that I have been successful because I'm starting to get trolls on the site. And I'm not going to name them because that only empowers them. And that's the last thing that we want to do here. But look, they're just all over the place. And what can you say? I'm flattered by your attention. It's empowering to me. And I truly enjoy ignoring your trolls. I really do. So I don't know if you caught it last week, but finally Sessions dumped the remaining 46 Obama holdover U.S. attorneys. U.S. attorneys are the head federal prosecutors for district courts in the United States. I think there's 93 of them. And basically he showed them the door. The one that was surprising to me was Preet Bharara, but looking at it, I can't say I'm totally surprised. Bharara was in many ways political. He refused to indict Andy Cuomo, the governor of New York, when he had clearly overstepped his bounds and probably broken the law. He's certainly going to indict de Blasio, no question. He's been investigating Hillary Clinton's email server, all of her stuff for months now, and can't seem to get his act together. So overall, he was a pretty good prosecutor in some respects, but not in others. Many of his Wall Street prosecutions have gotten overturned by the courts, and, you know, they'll come up with somebody better than him. You can be sure of that, or at least as good. Less publicity prone, perhaps, but we'll see. Two people who had no comment on the firing of Preet Bharara, because first he was told by Trump, I'm keeping you. And then I guess they look closer at his record and closer at the Obama problems. And look, Bharara was Chuckie Schumer's chief of staff. And Schumer has been doing nothing but giving Trump a hard time. So finally, Trump said, hey, you know what? Time for a little payback, Chuckie. I'm getting rid of him. And I'm sure there were other reasons. So Trump tried to call him, and he didn't take Trump's call because it's outside normal Justice Department protocol. And, you know, then they just fired him. So no big deal there. I was surprised that he kept them in the first place. Big mistake, in my opinion. You know, a clean broom, a new broom sweeps cleanest, as the saying goes. And that is a broom that has a lot of work to do. I can assure you of that. So, you know, New York City, a lot of stuff going on there. They're supposed to be getting a blizzard, but it looks like it was over-promised and under-delivered. You know, We're just like having fun here. You know, it's just amazing what will happen here. The new healthcare bill, it's getting hyped and negative hyped. It seems obvious to me that Trump will intercede. It's in the House and the Senate now. And look, Cruz, who was Trump's mortal enemy during the campaign, has found a loophole to get everything through the bill in both houses, in the Senate especially, because the Senate's got the filibuster rule. 60% to 60 senators have to agree to anything or nothing's going to happen with it. But under the Budget Reconciliation Act of, I think, 1974, it said that you can't just call anything budget reconciliation. You have to get the Senate parliamentarian to agree that the bill before the Senate is a financial or a economic measure, and it's not a policy measure. And then you only need 51 votes to pass it. It means a budget reconciliation. It's actually a budget bill. So, but there's an also in there that Cruz found, which shows he's really a good lawyer. Might not be the most delightful person to deal with. He's got his limits for sure. But the limit there is that it's either the Senate parliamentarian or the vice president. So Pence can just say, hey, we're doing interstate insurance. We're doing everything there. It's all a budget reconciliation matter. Therefore, the Senate can vote on it. And we have 51 Republican votes and the thing passes. So basically, they can get everything they want through. And two or three nights ago, Cruz and his wife actually had dinner at the White House. So maybe Cruz cut a deal. He's going to become the next Supreme Court nominee after Gorsuch, or he's getting another job, or perhaps he's going to get Trump support for his reelection. I don't know. I don't think he's going to run for reelection in the Senate. If the Supreme Court seat comes up, I think he's going to be there. My gut feel. But I've been wrong before, just like I was wrong about Preet Bharara staying on, but obviously Trump had his reasons. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So things like that going on, it's definitely very, very interesting. You know, Bharara like was into PR, but he never prosecuted any of the CEOs who led us down the garden path in the crash of 08. Now, the government was clearly the cause of it, but they couldn't have done it without the banks. And they knew what the banks were doing all along, and yet they did nothing. So makes you wonder what is going on. Why did he back off of everyone? And clearly, he was told probably by his bosses not to get involved. Let it go and just do it civilly. We'll just make them pay money. And everyone will be happy. But just paying shareholders money doesn't ever eliminate bad behavior. It's not enough of a consequence to pay shareholders funds to actually, to actually stop bad behavior. Bad behavior has to be felt. And I'm not saying jail necessarily, but barring these people from ever being a CEO again, forcing them to disgorge the fruits of their crime. You know, I'm not sure that jail is the right thing because the government encouraged it and knew what was going on and did nothing to stop it and facilitated it, made it easier. So putting them in jail, I'm not sure. Certainly it's tempting to say it. Hey, I don't know if you caught this, but Jake Tapper, his son calls him fake news. He's a host at CNN. I mean, that is great. I mean, I love it. It's just really, really great. So Mike Snyder, Economic Collapse blog, believes the Fed is setting up Trump for a recession, a housing crisis, and a stock market crash. Deep state versus the rest of us. Is it possible? Yeah. I don't think so, because they know that once they light the fuse, there's no telling how it's going to end. I mean, look what happened in 08, which I think was also brought on deliberately by the Fed to get Obama elected. They practically blew up the entire U.S. economy and took down the world economy with it. And I think it was somewhat deliberate what happened there when they pulled all that money, $500 billion out of the money market funds. You know, just bad stuff happened. So we're just going to have to see what happens here. Wolf Street, our good friend Wolf Richter, it's interesting. His quote is, "Many fear the Fed is behind the curve. The market is even further behind. This is clearly a dangerous situation. You know, government debt is taking a beating, which can happen when interest rates go up. The 10-year Treasury rose 5 basis points to 2.625. We have Andy Hoffman's 2.5%, enough said. I don't know here. It's going to be interesting. We know we're heading for a reset. So in a way, all of this is just chatter. But it's our chatter. It's our lives right now. So you and I both need to pay attention to it. So anyways, that is it for now. Emails kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. And don't forget the Twitter feed @KerryLutz and the Facebook page Financial Survival Network, and download itunes.com. Get the show automatically delivered to your computer. Okay? Been another Triple Lutz Report. This is Kerry Lutz signing off.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.